principles in your word, and we will then find true happiness in our life. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Get situated here. Our world is made up of many types of people. There's dog people, cat people, swimming pool people, beach people, morning people, night people, truck people, and car people, coffee people, tea people, and the list goes on and on. There's quite a variety that God made. But there's one thing that we all have in common, the desire to be happy. Okay, that's not loud enough. Is it on? It's on? Okay, I'll bring it up a little higher. Desire to be happy. Anyone know Ted Nugent's wife? She's got a thing that she puts out, a video deal she does on Facebook and stuff, and she wrote a book on happy. So, just got that from her. So, a desire for happiness, and there's none of us would say, my goal in life is to be unhappy, would we? No. We all desire to have a pleasant life, to have it easy, to find joy and things. So we all want to be happy. So the question is true happiness really possible? If so, how do we attain it? Over the years, countless philosophers, theologians, psychologists have pondered the issue. And why are some people happy and positive, and there's some people that are just a drag? They have a black cloud over their head, and they're negative. We all know those type of people. We all know people that are kind of on the happy side. A while back, there was a TV show called The Mystery of Happiness with John Stossel. He was interviewing two people, a woman who had in the past year won over $1 million on a game show, and a man who in the past year was in an auto accident and was left a quadriplegic, all four limbs numb. So contrary to what you might expect, the woman was miserable. She had lost her friends. She's the one who won the $1 million. Lost her friends and wished she had never won the money. Now the man who is the quadriplegic was involved in a life of service to others, was humbled, and was living a very happy, very fulfilled life. So with all the knowledge and technology in our nation, in the U.S., you'd think the U.S. would be a bunch of happy people, wouldn't you? But guess what? A study done, a third of Americans are not. 3 out of 10 considered to be unhappy. So do you realize that most of our problems of pursuing happiness is because we're doing it the wrong way? And I'm here to tell you tonight the right way. We make the mistake of thinking that happiness is money, power, possessions, or prestige, or being comfortable, having new things, shiny things, and more. The result is that many people spend their lives climbing the economic ladder, thinking they're going to be happy with more. And that doesn't give true happiness. That no matter what you earn, what you own, or who you are, if you're unhappy, you're a failure. Well, today we're going to go back and look and open the Word of God in Psalms 1 where you turned and learn how to get what everyone wants. Whether seeking it through money, sports, music, success, love, religion, family, whatever, we're all searching for it. And we'll leave tonight being more enlightened. So, where do you think we're going to find out how? Of course, we're in church. It's going to be in the Word of God. So, we're going to be going to the source of God, the knowledge of all wisdom, the Bible. As we look at Psalm 1, basically David here is able to tell the future. He can peek into our future. And with authority, he claims that he can tell us some interesting things about what's going to happen in your road of life. David says that he can predict your future and the future satisfaction, the future happiness in your level of life. So let's look ahead and predict where that goes. Let's read Psalm 1 through 3 right now. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So, in verse 1 we notice, who walks, not in the counsel of the godly, nor stands. So we have walking, not with the ungodly, standing, we're not going to stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1 introduces the path of righteousness and the path of the wicked, two paths. Blessed here, as he says, the first word in verse 1 literally means, oh, the happiness or blessedness, kind of an exclamation mark. As the Bible defines it, it's the heart condition of the whole world what's looking for. So you see, blessedness, biblically defined, is that almost indescribable but very real inner sense of well-being, contentment. It's an inner feeling of security and contentment and a positive outlook on life. It's to experience an unusual level of joy. The word blessedness is a calm assurance of self-worth, the vitality of spirit that comes when you know deep down that all is well with you and God. The word blessed that David uses here in verse 1 is to be truly happy. But it's not a happiness based on circumstance. It's a happiness which is not dependent on anything necessarily going on in your life. As we saw in those two examples of the interview from John Stossel. So we could ask, what determines whether you're going to be experiencing true lasting inner happiness that everyone seeks? As we look at these two roads, we can either walk in God's ways or walking in our own way. And whichever road you choose, the eventual outcome can be predicted with a great degree of accuracy. So the first characteristic of a happy man is he does not follow the world. The words counsel, stands, sits that I pointed out all refer to a locations of choice. It's in the active voice in the Greek. It's us doing it. It is us to make that choice to do it. So you've heard of the old saying that misery loves company. It's true. It's also true that sin loves company. It's a basic biblical truth that sin leads to misery. The miserable people tend to want everything else to be miserable and everyone else to be miserable too. The successful person has learned to reject the worldly crowd because he realizes the crowd's worldview is often wrong. When it comes to matters of right and wrong, the majority doesn't always rule. If you want to truly be happy in life, you'll want to decide that when necessary, you must stand your ground and let the crowd pass you by. So verse 1 here, which we read, the psalm describes a happy man's attitude towards following, not following the crowd. So, A on your handout, he doesn't listen to what the world or crowd says. Now I'm going to use world and crowd interchangeably. You can put world, you can put crowd, whatever you want, but they kind of go together. As we saw, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We can put it this way, happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked. When Walt Disney came up with a brainstorm, he would pitch the idea to 10 different people. If they were all against it, he would immediately go to work on the project. While building his company, Walt Disney had learned that conventional wisdom of the crowd wasn't always right. So what's the crowd or the world say to us? If you're unhappy in your marriage, get a divorce. If you have an unwanted pregnancy, get an abortion. If you're facing temptation, do what you want. Go with your feelings. Just don't get caught. Overall, the crowd's advice or the world's advice is you can attain happiness apart from God and obedience to his law. If you want to be happy, you cannot listen to the world or to the crowd. You don't go with your feelings. You don't know better than what God knows, do you? So letter B, he doesn't do what the world does. As we said, nor stands in the path of the sinners. Most of us, when given a choice, we take the path of least resistance. Our tendency is by nature to take the easy way. The person often, however, who truly wants to be happy is the one who takes the right path, not the easy path. And living the Christian life is not easy. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the devil's going to be after us. He's roaming around like a roaring lion, just seeking whom he can devour. And that's why we need to be prepared. Are self-sacrifice and happiness mutually exclusive? It's not a trick question. How would you answer it? Why do people compete in sports? It makes them happy. But in order to be good at sports and thus be happy, you have to sacrifice. There's a lot that goes into it. We should be more than willing to self-sacrifice when we know it will make us happy. Making the wrong choices, there are consequences ahead, whether we're saved or not. We'll lead into bad things or lead into good. It's a choice, again, that we make. Letter C. The one going in the right direction does not go where the world goes. Doesn't go with the crowd. And if you want to go with the crowd and you say it's just influencing me, I can't help it, then you're hanging around with the wrong crowd. What are you feeding your mind with? So, as we said, this would be in fit, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You will be affected by those you hang around with. And Paul put it this way to the Corinthians, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's easier for them to pull you down than for you to pull them up. Letter two, the man on the right, his delight is in God. His delight is in God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditates day and night. And this is the key. He delights in God's word because the word reveals God to him. He learns about his God from the pages of Scripture. Thus, he loves to spend time in God's word. Meditating means spending time and thinking about what you've read. It means asking yourself how you should change so you're living on as God wants you to. Knowing and meditating in God's word are the first steps toward applying it to your everyday life. And if you want to follow God more closely, which will bring more happiness in your life, you must know what he says. Paul told Timothy, in fact, let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:7. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. See, you apply it in your mind. I'll read it again. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what the Word of God says. And he will give you understanding in all things. God would give him insight. God speaks through the Bible, his word, but we need to be open and receptive to him. In fact, another good verse on this is John 15:7. Let's turn to John. Chapter 15, which is the abiding verse. John 15:7, which says, If you abide in me, which means we're to be in fellowship, and my words abide in you, meaning that you're studying the Word of God, you will ask what you desire through prayer, and it shall be done for you. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Because you're going to be thinking godly. You're going to be thinking Christ-like. And you're going to be wanting a desire of what God wants. It's His will. We were going to want to do His will. We get this by reading His Word. Like Pastor said, as if we have a girlfriend that lives across the United States, far away, and if we get a letter, and we get a letter every few days, and we're just putting them in a pile, and we don't read them, we're not going to feel close, we're not going to hear what she says, we're not going to hear or he, or we're not going to have that close fellowship. God has given us His Word, and we need to open it and read it. We will get to know God through that. Because He speaks in the New Testament, Age of Grace now. He speaks through His Word. So, as you read the Bible and ask God to show you timeless truths and applications in your life, consider what you're thinking and meditate on what you've read. God will give you understanding, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:7. So, do you know what we are commanded to do in the Bible as far as delighting in the Word of God? Here it says, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. What does your heart desire? If it's not within the will of God, you're not in His Word. If your desire is not in the will of God, you're not in fellowship. If your desire is not in the will of God, you're out of it, and you may not even know it. We are delight ourselves in the Lord. He shall give us the desires of our heart. We will be happy and content and find full joy. So our problem is we try to find our delight in anything else but God. Being truly happy starts by delighting in God, which we can do as we come to know Him through His Word. Winston Churchill said, a fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. In that sense, we should all be fanatics, shouldn't we? Absolutely committed to learning, knowing, and applying the principles of the Word of God to our lives. So, what kind of fanatic are you? That would be a good question. So, meditating on God's law, allowing it to dominate our thoughts, gives us delight in God. So, ask yourselves, what are your thoughts through the day? What are you obsessing about? What's on our mind? What do we think about when we wake up in the morning through our day and such? What are our goals in life? Emerson said that a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. I'll repeat that. A man becomes what he thinks all day long. What do you think about all day long? And that's why Paul said, Philippians 4:8-9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are you thinking about through the day? The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. A plus B equals C. That's what it is. So, number three, the person who's finding delight has circumstance, resistance, faith. Are we going to go through life as a Christian with no trials? Of course not. We all have trials, and as we've learned through life, that it's to make us a stronger person, thinking more righteously. We can either do this or we can do this. We can go up and be a better, stronger person, or we can just fall off the wagon and go the wrong way. So Psalm, let's go back to Psalms in verse 1. verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose life also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Question, what's an oasis? You've all heard of the name, oasis. An oasis is where trees were lush and green because they were always had an unlimited supply of fresh water for the roots. And as you can see by lakes or rivers or when it rains a lot, things get more green, soaks it right up. So whatever else you may attain, it will eventually get old. Where are your roots planted? That's the question. You don't want to be asking, now what? What's next? Another principle is happiness only comes through about when a person is regularly walking in harmony with God. Happiness only comes about when a person is regularly walking in harmony with God. David says that a person's a blessed person is like a leaf that doesn't wither. We can all think of people who pretty much stand fast. I mean, are pretty solid people. We can, you know, Mrs. Erb was solid as they come. Lost her husband at a fairly young age, and her life was just dedicated to the Lord. She had this contentment about her as she carried herself about. I remember at a previous church I attended, a woman, Marjorie Dorholt, was just a prayer warrior. I talked with her, and she just amazed me of just how everything kind of related back to the Lord. She's just a prayer warrior. Blessed people have a God-given inner resilience that enables them to keep rebounding from setbacks and trials in their life. They don't wither under heavy loads of responsibility. They don't wither in the face of storms that blow into our lives. They have a divine source of courage, strength, that just keeps them going, that just empowers them, and you can see that. Think of Acts. We have the Holy Spirit today. When we know Christ as our Savior from sin, we accept by faith that what he did on the cross paid for my sin. Right then, I have eternal life. It doesn't begin when I die. It begins right now when I make that decision to accept Christ as my Savior from sin. And I'm a new creation. See, we may not feel fireworks. When I got saved over 30 years ago, I thought I was supposed to feel fireworks or feel something different. And I didn't have that assurance that I was saved, because having that sin nature in me, I still thought a week later, why am I thinking these evil things and sinful things? Maybe I'm not saved. Instead of relying on what the Word of God says and those promises that says that I am saved once I place my full faith in Christ, and reading His Word and regularly meditating on that thought, over time I got that eternal security. I got the security to know that was Christ did it all. It wasn't anything of me. And if it isn't, then I can't lose my salvation either if it's not of me. So these promises in God's words are just remarkable when you just dig into it. So, happiness only comes about when a person is regularly walking in harmony with God. David says that a blessed man is like a leaf that doesn't wither. Do you believe God is in control of all of your circumstances? Blessedness comes from the confidence that God is in control of not just some, but all circumstances. He causes everything that happens in your life to work together for His ultimate good and yours. It's knowing that your life and your eternal soul are in God's hands, and that He carefully watching and caring for you right now in your daily business. If your delight is in God and your happiness comes from the relationship with Him, how could circumstances ever affect it? Now, if your happiness comes from circumstances, you're in big trouble, because circumstances change. As we read there, and whatever else, and whatever he does shall prosper. When I read that, I thought right away Joseph in the Bible. As the slave in Egypt, he stayed persistent. He stated everything was going wrong, and he stayed true to God's word, and he knew what was right and wrong, and God blessed him. He originally, as a slave, was Potiphar gave him little responsibilities, and he just, God blessed him. He just had plans to build a garden, landscaping. He just hung in there and did what was right, and they noticed he had some brains. As a slave, they didn't think he did, but God continues to bless him, continue to bless him, and they took notice. Pretty soon he was in the charge of the Potiphar's whole household. And when he was given a trial there, he stayed true. Even though he was persecuted and thrown in prison wrongly, he stayed true over 20 years. And finally, God blessed him. And here he is in control of Egypt, just under Pharaoh. And it is amazing. Success by God's standard is not success by the world. So I'll repeat that. Success by God's standards is not success by the world's standards. When Scripture says all they do shall prosper, it means that. It doesn't mean from failure or difficulties. It means, and it doesn't mean guaranteed wealth, health, popularity. What the Bible means by prosperity here is that when we apply God's wisdom, the fruit we bear will be good and approved by God. God gets the glory. Just as that tree we had a picture prior, the tree soaks up water and bears luscious fruit. Also, we are to soak up God's word, producing actions and attitudes that honor God. To achieve anything worthwhile, we must have God's word in our heart. So, question. We know the Bible says we're not going to have a soft and easy life. It promises that we will at times, we must face the wind and rain, storms, 50, 60 below weather in our life, when it's cold and bitter. It's a fact of life. We'll go through trials and tribulations. And we must endure all this. But how to do it is, again, relying on God's word. In the early 70s, a fireman of Fairfax County, Virginia, received new helmets. They were really sharp, colorful, plastic. They were glossy. They fit well. The problem is with these fireman helmets is that when they got next to heat, they melted. The problem with some believers' faces is that we cannot resist the extreme temperatures of daily life either. Are you shining on the outside and you melt and wither when you get a bad trial in your life? What's your foundation? Prosperous people delight in God. They know the difference between right and wrong, and they have chosen to do what's right no matter what. Deception, dishonesty will catch up to you. So another principle, we reap what we sow. But if you choose to live according to God's principles, you can expect a true inner joy and contentment, lasting happiness and prosperity, keeping your mind on the prize. Life here on earth is so short. Eternity is long. We're going to be one day standing before God, before our Savior. Keep that in mind. A cigar smoker bought several hundred expensive cigars and then had them insured against fire. After he'd smoked them all, he filed a claim pointing out that the cigars had been, in fact, destroyed by fire. The insurance company refused to pay and the man sued him. A judge ruled that because the insurance company had agreed to insure the cigars against fire, they were legally responsible. The company had no choice but to pay the claim. Then when the man accepted the money, the company sued him for arson. We reap what we sow, don't we? We reap what we sow. You think you're going to get away with something? We don't. Can we defy God's law? We can't. In fact, the true definition for success is knowing God's will and doing it. knowing God's will and doing it. How many of us know God's will, but we tend to just kind of float over to the left and want to do this over here instead? We might have a little guilt, but the more often we do it, we get numb to it and get callous. Pretty soon, it's just habit. Knowing God's will and doing it, get in that habit. Let's, in fact, turn to Joshua 1. Joshua, 6th book of the Bible. Right after Deuteronomy. I remember that because Josh is a dude. Right after Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do accordingly to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." There are some Christians who believe that if you have faith, you won't have any serious problems. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that faith prevents bad circumstances. It teaches instead that faith protects you from bad circumstances. So there in this passage in Jeremiah, also we're going to read, in fact, Jeremiah 17, let's flip over to there. Jeremiah is after Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Chapter 17, verse 8. On the same order here. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Put your faith in God. He will help you endure the storm of life and any drought that life brings your way. However, our future telling, David here in Psalms 1, also mentions another group of people, and their future is grim. While one group can anticipate blessedness, and you will be blessed inside and happy inside if you take the right path, you will have trials in life, but you will react to them a different way. The other group faces a bleak future and barrenness, a future filled with gnawing absence of any sense of God, and a reoccurring sense of uncertainty as to what the game of life is really about, and it brings anxiety. So do you know people who are achieving a certain level of material success but feel empty inside? How many times do we read about athletes, famous athletes or boxers or earn millions of dollars? They blew it. Or they have it and they're still searching. And I remember on a previous message putting up a picture of Harrison Ford. He was asked in an interview, what one word would he use? Or what one thing would he want that he doesn't have now? And it was one word he said was peace. So Psalms, let's go back to Psalms. A few books previous. Psalms chapter 1. Verse 4, 6 through 6. "The ungodly are not so." We're talking about the ungodly now. "But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." See, chaff is the outer part of the grain, and once it's separated from the grain, it's worthless and just thrown out to be blown away by the wind. They'd take this stuff by a rake and they'd throw it up in the wind, the chaff would blow away. The good stuff would fall right where they wanted it. So in conclusion, Psalm 1 here offers a perspective on happiness different than what we're used to. The principle here, happiness comes from an abiding relationship with God. Happiness comes from an abiding relationship with God. You cannot be happy without making correct choices Your choice daily. Everyone has a hole in their soul. All your efforts produce only temporary happiness. Deep down inside, there's a barren place. Everyone's got it, where God wants to be the object of your heart's desire. What David is driving at here in Psalm 1 is each of us is going to wind up experiencing great feelings of blessedness or deep feeling of barrenness. It's going to be one or the other. And if you look ahead 5 years from now, David says with a great deal of confidence that it's going to be one way or the other. Whether you're in high school or college, married or single, a new Christian or a veteran Christian, don't be fooled by exaggerated promises from TV, magazines, Facebook poems and slogans. Don't fall prey to that lie that living the way you want to live apart from the real involvement of God is going to be a road to happiness. I can't believe all these little slogans on Facebook with a pretty picture. People believe it's scripture. And it's so silly of what they post. So don't fall prey to the lies. Some of us here are maybe ignorant to the warning signs and go ahead and walk down that path of self-interest. You will wind up living your life devoid of true inner peace, and it's going to catch up to you one day. So walk in God's ways, and we need to remember it's a daily choice. Another principle, it's a daily choice to walk in God's ways. It's a daily choice to walk in God's ways. It comes to this. The happy person delights in God, not in the world. He doesn't follow the world. He doesn't give up easily. And his faith is rock solid. By God's grace, we may all enjoy this kind of happiness. Blaise Pascal said, happiness is neither within us or without us. It's the union of ourselves with God. So happiness isn't within us or one-sided right outside us. It's a union with God. That's what true happiness is. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When David said to the Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore, he meant that nearness to God himself is the only all-satisfying experience of the universe. So, who created us? God. Why did God create us? He created us to have fellowship with him. He didn't need us, but to have fellowship with him and to bring him glory. So ask yourself, is your life bringing God glory? Is your life bringing God glory? When we do that, only then will we have true happiness. True happiness comes to those who make daily choices to find their delight in God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, just a simple few verses in Psalms. From David, a man after your own heart. Thank you for that your word never changes. We can take principles out and apply them to our lives. And we know as a sinner, we have to make daily choices to do right. And we know, Father, that your principles say in the word that we will be blessed as we do. And we will be one day, we will be before you. And help us take that serious and take what we learn here and apply it to our lives daily. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.